Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 2nd of April. It's an O'Brien show this morning.
Yes, it is.
Relax, it's not a soliloquy. Yeah, I've been reading Shakespeare again. Brian Wilson from the, North Coast Air Quality District.
North Coast Unified Air Quality Management
District. Oh, you all hold, you hold hands and sing Kumbaya?
We get called by so many different things. Okay. AQMD, local AQMD.
Yeah. All right. I even wrote down Unified.
Yeah,
just try it by memory. Morning.
Good morning.
The other thing, and we're going to do a little something with the, if you're registered with the shopping show, is today starts year 43. It's April 2nd. I guess all that means is I'm old.
No. Nice.
And then we move on. All right. You ready for your question?
I'm just glad it's not April 1st.
Well, the question is, however, what are the origins of April Fool's Day?
You know, it probably goes back to Europe. It probably goes back to England. I'm actually thinking it goes back maybe to France. And I'm thinking it was, for some reason, what stuck in my head is not that people were foolish in April, but people picked on rulers, leaders, not kings, but whoever was in parliament or something like that, and they would make fools of them somehow. I can't remember where it comes from.
You're going to be tough to live with.
What?
Up until 1564, the French celebrated New Year's between March 25th and April 1st. But with the introduction of the new Gregorian calendar, the festival was moved to January 1st. Those who resisted became victims of pranks, including invitations to non-existent New Year's parties on April 1st.
Okay.
Soon, the April 1st celebration of a non-occasion became an annual festival of hoaxes.
Hoaxes?
Hoaxes. You probably haven't used that word in a long time.
No.
In conversation. What's your favorite word with an X? Axe.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, boy. So what is air quality?
What is North Coast air quality?
No.
Or just air quality?
What is air quality? Because obviously the definitional or the functional definition of it has changed radically.
It has.
I don't think we could have TP burners around Humboldt County like we did in the 60s
to
the extent that we had.
No, and I remember them well, very well.
Yeah. And for those who, I think there's still two of them. Yana said
still
that
covered with there's,
IV. Yeah, there's one southern Humboldt, and I think there's, is it Carlotta? Not at the old mill, but right around
Orleans, maybe. I remember seeing one out in Orleans.
Okay.
In a gravel pit, and you could cover it with ivy, and
it's
all rusting.
Yeah.
I do remember them well.
An upside down shuttlecock, a badminton shuttlecock.
I've got a great picture taken from an aerial shot that shows, you know, back in the day. I can't remember how high up, but it shows all the plumes of the. The pulp mill and of the biomass plants and of the teepee burners, and you can see all the individual plumes pluming over and heading east, and it's quite a picture.
Yeah, it's so. I don't think we could cite those.
No.
Maybe the pulp mill with some of the scrubbers and stuff they put in towards the end. But what is air quality?
Air quality for us is basically following a bunch of regulations. So we're local, federal, and state. Regionality. And for us, the regulations that come from the EPA define, and also California, being California, have some more unique standards. And so they set the standards for certain pollutants, and that is for us air quality, if you will. Also, there's fugitive dust and other things, but we regulate.
Fugitive dust,
yes.
You have a different jargon than many people.
We do.
Yes, okay. Yes. Fugitive dust.
Dust. Like construction.
Like in the living room.
No.
Fair enough.
Construction or something that may happen at a plant and they're doing a bunch of construction there. It's not just on the road. But we have certain standards that we measure to, and then certain standards that we do things around, have programs around. So PM is the big driver in particulate matter, is the big driver in Humboldt County and Del Norte and Trinity County to a lesser degree.
Now that's kind of like turbidity in the water then.
Yes.
Just stuff.
Yep. We're very lucky to
have... Basic term, stuff.
Yes.
Stuff in the air, stuff in the water. Yeah.
We're very lucky to have good air quality here. Always probably had, even with those pulp mills and TB burners, it was still, the challenge was particulate matter, not the other pollutants, you know, CO and NOx and that kind of thing, which form pollution and that kind of thing, especially in Redding or warmer climates where you get ozone and that kind of thing. We just don't have that. Maybe in Weaverville to a tiny degree, but...
So when was the last time you heard in conversation anybody use the phrase smog?
When I used to live in L.A.?
It used to be a big national thing. Inversion and smog, and then poof, it disappeared to be replaced by either more specific things or more general things, depending on, I guess, who you listen to.
Right. I mean, it really changed. I grew up in the 60s and 70s down in L.A., and, smog alerts and that kind of thing. You could feel it in your chest and you could see it. And I remember when it gradually got better.
Brown air.
And that's, the Air Resources Board for the state was formed back then. And it's slowly, it's our world is measured over, not 10 years or 20, but 30, 40, 50 years of tiny little changes over a long period of time. And so, all the changes in the vehicles, all the changes in the diesel trucks, all the changes in all the different rules they've done take forever to put in place, and certainly driven by cars and heat for smog.
When they talk about poundage in the air, how do they figure that? I mean, you don't see piles of this stuff on the roadside.
No.
Or anywhere.
It is quantifiable, though. Yeah. So when you have...
Does it ever settle out?
It depends. So it's like if you have a power plant, like PG&E or something like that, and you have engines, and they have a stack, you have a certain height of the stack. And so you have a certain volumetric amount of air that goes up through the stack. And so you can actually measure what's coming out of the stack, but it has a certain diffusion. And usually that diffusion is up and over, say, the breathing space of people, and it's up and it goes into the atmosphere and that kind of thing.
And so when they talk about the filters and the scrubbers and things like that, it's to grab the stuff before it gets out of the stack.
Yep.
KINS News Physics 102 when we come back.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Wilson from, all right, I'll read it properly, North Coast Unified Air Quality District.
Yeah, it works.
All right. Are you a GM or, you're a GM, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't GM, ED,
or actually executive director.
Okay, great.
The title is Air Pollution Control Officer, but
that's
functionality in terms of the regulation, but there's actually...
You have a left-handed catcher's mitt and a right-handed catcher's mitt.
That's right. Both lefties, yeah.
Yeah, take care of that air quality. It's a little foggy outside right now. Is fog particulate matter in the air, or is it a climatic thing? I mean, you hear about different areas and fog is more regular. Or, it really used to be a lot foggier
here. And
you hear
that about here.
Yeah, I can remember Dad talking about in the early 60s that driving, it was before the nuke plant was commissioned, but driving through that area to go fishing in the morning down on the Eel, he said 5 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And we haven't seen that. I remember that coming up here in the 60s and 70s, because I used to come up all the time, and I remember that very, very clearly, and even I remember it years ago.
So was that a byproduct of the TV burners?
No.
Or just
well, there was an interesting things. Comment I remember hearing from NOAA, and I can't remember, this is about 20 years ago, from someone from NOAA who'd been around a long time, and they had done some studies, because they had been asked the same question by the old-timers. Where did the fog go?
Yeah.
And not just on climate change, but like up here,
just
where did the fog go?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of discussion around whether or not all the teepee burners and all the different other type of burning, especially in the Humboldt Air Basin, had any...
You mean around Humboldt Bay?
Humboldt Bay, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, sorry, translate again. had in some sort of formulation around particles and then moisture forming around particles and that kind of thing and creating a heavier fog because of it. I don't know if there's any scientific study on that, but I've heard that several times. But as far as what we measure, not so much. The fog is fog.
What do you measure?
What we measure is what we have to measure, what we're out of attainment for. So what we don't meet the standard for. So the standards that we have here, going back to what I was saying earlier, is particulate matter. That's the challenge for Humboldt County. We're in attainment or meeting the standards, the health protective standards, for all the other pollutants.
So just total, or are there certain chemicals or certain things within that array that you focus on?
Just we've measured them all and met the standards for them all except for particulate matter. And we're darn close. So there's two types of particulate matter. There's what's called PM10 for 10 microns and smaller, and PM2.5, which is even smaller than that. Really, really fine. So we actually.
So it sounds like zero detect.
Yes, almost. We're talking real small. Yeah. The PM10 is like boulders. The PM2.5 is the stuff that goes deep inside your lungs and stays, you know, aloft and gets traveled around. Wildfire smoke, you know, goes up 30,000 feet and
what's
goes
pollen?
Over, you know, it can be PM2.5. Yeah.
Okay.
But like road dust or tires ground up or
so things that
we might
see.
Yeah, you might see and create a haze. We're out of attainment for a state standard, and looks like we're coming back into attainment, which means we're just about to meet the standard.
Because we haven't had fire in a while?
No, again, it's measured, if you look at what's happened over the many years, we were talking about the pulp mills going away and the TP burners going away and that kind of thing, and also all the cars and vehicles getting cleaner over the many, many, many years. We've slowly seen a decrease in that, and it's actually slowly getting better.
So this is a trend.
A trend, yes, yep. But the challenge is particulate matter, which is why in our world we focus around programs that help either bring that down or keep that there. Which is grant programs for diesel, grant programs for wood stove. There's other reasons why we have what we call sources that we have permits with. You know the PG&E and the pulp mill and a whole host of other things. But the grants and other things focus trying to give grants to things that will reduce that particulate matter.
So when the jet stream or whatever they're calling this other thing changes, now you got air coming in from different areas.
Yeah. They call that transport.
Do you see blips? I mean, are you guys measuring it that specifically, that finite, that daily, to be able to see any fluctuations, let's say, for whatever
coming
reason.
From China kind of thing?
No, let's say Seattle's got a big mill.
Yeah.
Okay, and the jet stream suddenly is coming down the coast instead of hitting the mountain range. Would you be able to sense that or see that or measure that?
I don't think we'd be able to attribute it to that. I know there's been a discussion with other air districts, especially those that are way out of attainment and all the little tiny minutia matters where they've done studies trying to say, hey, some of our base load is coming from, say, overseas.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, or volcanic.
Not my fault.
Not my fault kind of thing. And so can we have another, you know, 5 microns of space or something, you know? But not here. We did see, we also have a monitor for, remember Fukushima?
Yeah.
So radioactive monitor. And did see transport from that. Nothing alarming or anything. And that was interesting back, what was it?
Just that it
ago?
Made it across the ocean.
It made it, yeah. Yeah. But PM2.5, the small particulate, usually by wildfire that goes and trains up high in the atmosphere and carries over, you know, like from here to Montana or even further, is the stuff you got to worry about. But it also comes across the ocean as well.
But now a lot of that stuff is the unburned embers too, right?
Yeah.
Which is larger than
the
what
larger,
you're
the
referencing.
Boulders, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about China when we come back. That is, I'll say what I say, and you can choose not to respond. When we come back, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Wilson, General Manager and Executive Director.
I'll just go by ED.
Yeah.
Executive Director.
Ooh. For North Coast. Yeah, the Air District.
Yeah.
So with North all the Coast. Focus that California has, okay, in Del Norte County, okay, most air doesn't recognize where the boundary is.
No.
Okay. Oregon is a different standard than California. Okay. Curry County is a little bit more, if you can believe it, rural than Del Norte County is.
Mm.
Okay. A lot more fireplaces in, certainly per capita, in Brookings and in Curry County. How difficult or how different is Del Norte County measuring or measurements versus Humboldt County?
Much less, as you would imagine, being next to the ocean, so they don't get, we were talking about before, we don't get transport. What we get a little transport of is sea salt, because that's a particular matter as well. So that shows up on filters.
You're not trying to regulate.
No, gosh. No, but it certainly affects. When you're held to a standard and you can't be over so much, that's where, the air districts and everyone fight and point out, hey, wait a minute, hold on, 10% or 5% of our filter is picking up.
It's still on the scale,
salt,
so to speak.
The EPA and Air Resources Board don't care. It still weighs in.
Really? Yeah. There's no recognition of sea salt?
Nope. Other districts and we've talked about that. But, that's the lucky part and the good thing of living next to the coast here is Del Norte and Humboldt County, we don't have any transport. Whereas other places like other counties, say, downwind of Redding or downwind of,
right,
say, Sacramento or downwind of L.A., yeah, they have a big problem because it gets handed to them a baseload and then they have their own things. But we have the highest up in our area, Siskiyou also, the per capita folks that have wood stove for heat, which is why we get one of the largest grants for wood stove grants in the state. Because
so what does a wood stove grant do?
Changes out the wood stove so you can get funds up to $5,000 for the replacement.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just a more modern wood stove?
Yes, they used to be $500, which is a paltry amount toward it. But now, when wood stoves are, $2,000 to $3,000, $4,000,
right.
Plus putting the backing and all that if you didn't have one.
Pipe.
Pipe.
Yeah.
But to retrofit them out, and so I think they're recognizing that. So the grants are up there, and heat pumps as well.
So how does somebody get one of those?
They have to have one already.
Oh, so it's an existing.
It's existing, right. Okay. So what the thought is that you're, decreasing their PM footprint, if you will.
So
through a grant.
Give you guys a call?
Yeah. Or go on our website. So, and
give you a call.
Yeah. We just got from the Air Resources Board, as all the air districts, we get your allocation, if you will, you're doling out. And for us, it's about $500,000 for this area for the next 2 years.
So that's
if you run the numbers,
like $1,000 a year.
Yeah,
a wood stove.
Yeah.
Somebody must have somewhere an estimate of how many wood stoves there are in the area.
I've seen that, and that's part of, like I said, what they based their information on
the
when
formula.
They did the allocation. Because when they figure out, well, who's going to get this money, they it's certainly not Bay Area and South Coast, although they get a lion's share. They've already, in many cases, outlawed that you can't put in new wood stoves or that kind of thing. So our area is just still one of those areas where you rely on wood heat. I mean, everyone still does.
So if they do that kind of a conversion, why not do that for some of the commercial diesel rigs? Instead of forcing these folks to have to go out and replace their fleet. I mean, talk about it.
Yes, it's really expensive.
Really quick.
Yes, yeah. Luckily, we're not the one that provides the regulations or pushes those regulations. It's the state. CARB is the one that puts that. But we're the ones that luckily get the grants for that. So we give out grants called Carl Moyer. Many of the folks who are truck drivers and whatnot are familiar with that. But yeah, it's we're kind of coming on the back end saying, you can get this grant prior to compliance. But it's tight. It is very tight.
And you guys do the is it like a smog check then afterwards?
No, it's just replacement. So we just confirm that the engine that they're putting in is, and then they actually destroy the old one. And the same thing with boats. We do fishing boat grants for replacement for diesels, tractors, agricultural.
Pretty much anything that's got an older engine?
Yep.
At least it might be worth a phone call to find out.
Correct.
Or that website thing.
Yes. NCUAQMD.
Yeah, that would mean you'd have enough physical dexterity with your fingers.
We still have that challenge up here as we all do, yeah.
Big fingers, small pad, yeah. Yeah. You've mentioned a couple times, Brian, about this migration of air gunk.
Mm-hmm. Transport.
That sounds like you're climbing on a bus and going somewhere.
Yes.
I think most folks are familiar with what used to be burning rivers in China.
Right.
So the smokestack, the nasty stuff in India and a lot of the plastics that the American consumer demands are made in these areas because not only of cost, but cost of environmental regulation also.
Right. Which in many cases they don't have.
Yeah. Is there any kind of recognition that a lot of this stuff, I mean, for the folks that, not to denigrate it, but for the folks that are wild and crazy about air quality.
Right.
Why isn't there more attention being focused on the international to get, I mean, if everybody, I don't know what the loosest state is in America, let's say, just because I like picking on Larry, Mississippi, is the loosest. Well, if the rest of the world was at that loose level, wouldn't have a lot of issues.
Right.
So why isn't there more focus on the international scene, politically groundswell, than worrying about 0.1 microns that kind of stuff where you're really dealing with the infinitesimal.
Right. And I think it really plays in for greenhouse gas because that's something that's more global than particulate matter. But that is definitely a political solution. And yeah, I know it's quite maddening for folks because you can hold folks accountable to something here and require things, but then overseas there's no controls and yet that still affects us.
And the wind blows and it's all gone anyway.
Right. Definitely political solution on that one.
So there's just not the will right now.
Yeah.
A lot of lip service, but not will. God, you don't have to comment on that one. I'm sure that'll boomerang on you. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft Salad Dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Wilson from North Coast Unified Air Quality District. How did Trinity County get part of you and not Siskiyou?
Good question. Don't know. The unified part is being that we're three counties. We originally
three-headed monster, I think, is the reference point.
Years ago, it used to be just Humboldt County, and then the three counties got together and we became unified. Probably because it's a little bit more distinct for an air basin, perhaps, from that perspective.
Oh, okay, the topography.
Yeah, think it's probably have something sure. to do with it.
Shasta probably is connected to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and because within our air basin is also, when you think really big idea, is Mendocino and Lake County and,
right.
and that kind of thing.
So when Lassen or Shasta have one of these little smoke plumes,
mm-hmm.
that just...
You mean from a prescribed burn or...
No, it just...
Or wildfire.
It just starts happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's called lava.
Ah, yeah.
How much does something small like that impact, or does it have any impact at all?
Depends on the wind direction.
Okay.
Yeah, so if they have a
wildfire. Well, who gets it is not the question.
Yeah, right.
But you know, you start to have some of these, or like when St. Helens went crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, we had a little bit here. Some of those types, are there allowances made for those things? Or is it just noted and you're out of compliance for X number of period of years because of that trend? And thank you very much.
Good question for a, lava and smoke and everything from an eruption. For us, usually where it comes to play is for wildfire. And yes, there is an allowance for that. And there's also now, and there didn't used to be, an allowance for prescribed fires. Which is
really,
yeah, that's a new one, and that is, thank goodness, otherwise that would have been a real big problem. Because if you, and the way it works,
I'm surprised that it wasn't.
Oh, to begin
you take your permit out, okay, we know yeah. that you're there, we know that there's going to be a little extra something going on,
right? Well, difference between, say, we call it open burning, another right, is so folks that have a burn permit and they burn in their backyard or burn their property in 5-10 acres.
The slash whatever. Burn.
Right, or burning their leaves yeah. or trees that fell or whatever. That's different. That's open burning. We're talking about prescribed burning, which is the same thing.
So that's the commercial application?
Well, prescribed burns in our area are anything that's over a 10-foot diameter pile, so or you're burning more than that. So it's kind of saying...
You mean like the blackberries in the back
yeah.
that you put together yeah. a pile?
It's so it's the bigger stuff, if you will. Or if you're burning under story, you're burning acres, are you doing what the national parks do, or the forestry, or Green Diamond, or any of the timber harvest companies where they're doing, you know, slash burns, any of the really large.
Wait a minute,
burns.
You say the parks?
Mm-hmm. State parks.
They're maintaining, they're grooming and cleaning, or is this something
do.
New?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, up near Oreck, you know, the park there is quite active on burning. They do 900 acres every year on their certain prairies and whatnot. But anytime,
so this is a scale then.
Yeah. So anything that's bigger than, say, like I said, the 10-foot diameter pile or burning multiple piles, you have to have what's called a smoke management plan. And so you basically say, I'm going to burn this in certain conditions, and in certain areas it's fine. You can burn, and there isn't any effect on anyone. In other areas, there might be a school to your south, and so you wouldn't want any north winds. You would want
even if it's on the weekend.
On the weekend, be different. Yeah. And so this smoke management plan kind of lays out, hey, I've got a road here, I've got a hospital here, or I have nothing here, in which case it's not problematic. But so long as you have that, and so long as you have turned that in and got one approved and worked with the air district on it, and then, most importantly, got an approval to burn on a certain day, on permissive days.
Now, how does a regular guy do that?
Just call us up and we can work with them. We work with ranchers. We work with, you know, predominantly, yeah, it's an 80-20 rule. It's 80% of the folks that generally do this for a living. But then the 20% are someone who has, you know, had tree damage, and they have a...
Four or five acres. It's, you know, kind of like the weekend house cabin kind of thing. Yeah, I got, you know, if I have three or four piles of down branches and blackberries,
yeah,
guess who's not getting a call?
Well, if you want to
burn them all...
You can just do them. If you want to burn them all at the same time, then you need a plan. Or if you had, like, if you remember, we had the storms back in 2005, I think it was. Or everyone had debris.
Yeah.
Or Willow Creek just a couple years ago.
Yeah, with the winter thing.
Yeah. And they need to clean that up. Oh, sure, yeah. Then there's quite a large amount of burning that needs to be done. And
well, that wouldn't be done in one weekend anyway. It'd be over four or five.
It depends.
If it's your weekend house.
Yeah, and if you're trying to find that window when it's not rainy and it's, you know.
Well, what's wrong with the rain?
With fire?
Yeah.
Well, it might be problematic to light it.
Oh, well, you. We have this stuff called rubber. Yeah, a little bit of the gas.
No rubber.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to what we were saying.
Egg cartons,
yeah. But so long as someone follows essentially the rules and gets a plan and burns on a certain, on a permissive day and gets an authorization, then the state recognizes that. And then if you have that, Then if someone actually burns and it's a large burn and our monitor picks it up, we can say, nope, we don't have to include that. And that is starting to happen. And that happened about 2 years ago in a burn down near Wyatt in Garberville. And it was actually, I believe, State Parks that was doing it. And the burn was quite large. And the burn, the winds were blowing from the south and it blew all the way up into Eureka. And the smoke came in here. And because they followed their smoke management plan and the wind didn't follow what they thought it would do, we were able to say, nope, we get to excuse that. Same thing with wildfire. And so it's a huge thing that's good to have in the tool of prescribed burning. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to achieve so much prescribed burning because that would start affecting the monitors.
So is that information communicated to the general public?
That concept?
Yeah, because I would think that CAL FIRE would get the phone call or local fire district.
Yeah. Well, our permits are in concert with CAL FIRE. Years ago, our what folks are familiar with is the non-standard and standard burn permits, or even the dooryard permits. That's part of a concert or with, you know, CAL FIRE. It's a coordinated burn permit.
So if somebody sees a smoke plume up on the mountain ridge, I don't know, even know what it's called.
Yeah.
Fresh water. Along Old Arcata Road. Call you? Call the fire department? Who do they call this, either to report it?
Yeah.
Or, oh, okay, it's okay, never mind. Because we'll get half a dozen calls out here.
Right, you probably get calls too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they call you guys or do they call the fire department?
We might know. They could call the fire department. They might know as well if it's one of their permits, because they also have to call them for CAL FIRE depending on certain times of the year. Or if folks call us, we would be able to know. There's also applications that you can find out if it's a prescribed burn. So you can actually look up and find
out. Oh, that's way too geeky, dude.
Yeah, I know. Getting the word out.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.